Welcome to Season 5 of Ye Olde Dragon's Library, the storytelling podcast. Each episode this season will be a chapter from the second book in the Enchanted Castle Archives, The Beastly Beauty. In Season 1, our heroine, Ash, was warned multiple times to stay away from the Enchanted Castle, and if she ever saw it coming toward her, to run. Now, she finds the Enchanted Castle, or, perhaps more accurately, it finds her. Will prophecy come true? Can she escape when she finds out the truth of Cecil's warning that every castle wants a princess? Listen and find out. Chapter 28. Philby would enjoy hearing about this adventure. Thinking of Philby brought her up with a jolt. How long had she been here in the castle? How many years had passed out in the real world? What did her friends think of her? Were they worried about the long silence from her on their side of the portals? Instead of taking the long nap she needed, Ash composed letters, just in case she failed in this mission, to Lady Charlotte, Philby, Cecil, Dunstan, Hazel. She thought about giving Dunstan instructions how to find the portal of roses and snow. More than a year had gone by back at Castle Fairhold, and he was out on his adventure. Wouldn't exploring the Enchanted Forest be the greatest adventure she could give him? Then she remembered Isolova's cautions about people without magic in their blood being harmed, affected by the forest and the castle. If she was his friend, she couldn't do that to Dunstan. A fortnight here in the forest was more than a year of absence and silence back home in Alfordia. A decent adventure would require at least a month, maybe two. She couldn't do that to Lord Diggory and Lady Beatrice, who had been good to her. She amused herself with dreaming up a letter to Lathia, impressing on the arrogant twit that all the harm she had hoped to inflict had turned into great good fortune. Yes, Lathia would be a queen some day, if her husband's people didn't rise up in disgust and revolt. With Lathia's undeserved luck, she would turn out to be just the kind of queen those people wanted, and she would be much beloved. Ash wanted Lathia to know she had lost, that the nameless servant she had thought to abuse for her amusement had been born with the potential for great power, a worthy custodian for all the secrets of the Enchanted Castle. Worthy, Ash whispered, as she ran the words through her mind. Was she proving herself worthy? Had she been formed for this destiny from the moment of conception? Friar Ipswich had certainly believed that was so for everyone, no matter how lowly or exalted their station, no matter how many or how few identifiable talents they possessed. Everyone had a destiny, a task Athiosius had chosen specifically for them, and them for the task. Had the castle used such heavy-handed methods to keep her here and form her into a princess because she resisted, instead of seeing this as great good fortune? Because she wanted to get away rather than prove herself worthy? I'm too tired. Maybe I'm so tired I'm wobbly philosophical, she whispered, and sighed laughter. Tired or not, the thought was in her head, and she doubted she could avoid considering the idea again. First, she had to lead Ruprecht's men away from the castle, get them lost, and get them out of the forest before those magicians forced a portal open. If they figured out how to keep it open, Ruprecht would have constant, uncontrolled access to the forest. If he managed that, how long would it take until he gathered enough magicians together to overcome the castle? Athiosius, help me succeed. And if I don't succeed, don't let the forest and castle suffer because of me, she whispered. She left her letters on the bench next to Isolova, without telling her what they were, and went out into the garden. Bella came to sit with her. She pressed her hands together against the side of her face, gesturing for Ash to go to sleep, then leaned back against the wall of the summer house and closed her eyes. Ash fell asleep to the whisper of the breeze through the vines and flowers and the soft bubbling music of the spring. Fang came for her, waking her by putting the wolf mask in her lap. Ash woke instantly, without startling. Bella was gone. Silently, she put on the mask. Her body changed more swiftly and easily than before, all her senses expanding as she walked through the garden to the stairs to the balcony. Before she put her foot on the bottom step, the garden gates creaked open. Was that a gift from the castle? She had considered how she would leave the castle without opening the gates and risking the soldiers getting in. "Thank you," she said, and broke into a lope. Fang kept up with her, racing silently through the gates, around the castle. She came to the edge of the land surrounding the castle and leaped over the moat in one graceful bound. In moments, she reached the camp of Ruprecht's men, such as it was, with just bedrolls and two fires, and their horses picketed in the shade of the trees. The dozen men lounged about on the grass and moss on either side of the pebble pathway leading up to the moat and the drawbridge. "Beauty! Princess Beautiful!" a man called in a sing-song tone that indicated he had been calling so long he no longer cared what he was saying. "Please, beautiful maiden, come talk to us. Let us into the castle. Let us rescue you. Don't you want to be a queen?" "No, she doesn't," Ash called. When that didn't get their attention, she tipped her head back and howled. They all turned and gaped at her long enough. Ash wondered if their brains had frozen in their pleading phase. "Beast!" the tallest and widest of the men shouted. "Let the princess go! King Ruprecht commands it." "He's not my king and she's not a princess. Go back to that lying thief and tell him to stay away until he learns how to read the books he's been stealing." She turned her back on them and sauntered away, adding a wiggle to her backside that would have had her gagging in disgust just a year before. If Ash had a tail, she would have flipped it at them. Maybe if she wore the wolf mask long enough, she would grow a tail? Frightening thought, and somehow amusing. The men shouted behind her. Some ordered her to come back and surrender to them. Ash glanced over her shoulder. Several men had left the group, half-heartedly following her. That wouldn't do. She needed all of them. She tried to remember all the rude gestures she had seen the servant boys making behind the backs of self-important fools like Camwell and Winston. That got more shouts, a few more men moving toward her. Still, not enough. "They need a prize," Fang chirped from the shadows where he waited. "A prize? This isn't a game." Ash's eyes narrowed, and the wolf in the mask howled delight. Images of wolf games of chase and hunt and tumble flashed through her mind. Yes, she could use the wolf mind, the wolf idea of play. "You bore me," she called, and walked backward, watching the men. "Let's play a game, if you're man enough to try." "What kind of game?" the leader shouted back. "A wolf game, a beast game. The one who captures me wins the castle. All the magic stored in it. All the riches." Ash laughed as several men leaped forward, drawing swords, reaching for the spears propped against the trees by their horses. "Think of it! King of the Enchanted Forest, Lord of the Enchanted Castle. More powerful than Ruprecht." Another laugh. "And you can give him the silly, stupid girl." Two men leaped at their fellows, knocking them down before dashing after her. The others scrambled to give chase. Ash howled and ran. Her injured leg throbbed once, threatening to fold. She pushed the pain away, and then she was part of the wind. In moments she had lost them, the sounds of their shouts and scuffling muted among the trees. That would not do. Ash curved back around. The portal closing the soonest was perhaps a mile away. She could run that in mere minutes. It would start closing in 20, according to Fang. Better to lead the men farther away, make sure they were all following her, get them lost, get them frustrated, give them time to think about what she offered them, stir them up and put their greed over their loyalty to and fear of Ruprecht. She came back around, approaching the castle from the other direction, and nearly ran into four men on horseback. So, they were smarter than she thought. She darted back into the trees and waited until they passed. She growled under her breath. The horses snorted and their ears flicked and they tossed their heads. They understood, even if their riders were oblivious dolts. When they passed her, Ash waited to be sure there weren't others behind them. She stepped out of the trees. counted to five. Then she howled. The horses shrieked and two reared. Ash laughed and made sure the men saw her. Then she fled with the wind. She doubled back, looking for the others, and changed the choice of portal again, until she had all the men following her, all on horseback, all cursing, some mocking the others, ordering her to give up, promising brutal punishment if she didn't obey. Ash burst out of the trees to cross a meadow where Izalova had showed her deer dancing in the moonlight. Unimpeded by trees and underbrush, the horses began to catch up with her. Ash waited until she felt the thunder of the hooves in the ground and the hot breath of the horses. Then, laughing, she doubled her pace, stretching her legs out with an ease that made her want to leap and dance. Later, she would wait until later to dance. More shouts and cursing rang out behind her. She reached the shelter of the trees on the other side of the meadow, ran a dozen steps, then leaped up into the branches. Ash perched on a high branch, shielded by the leaves, and caught her breath as the horses raced by underneath her. She counted until all of them had gone past. Then, with a howl, she leaped down and stood, arms and legs spread, waiting until one head, then another turned, and the men saw her and fought to turn their horses and race after her. The portal she wanted now stood on the edge of the bank of the Snarl River, above the falls, near the trees where the Kispies nested. It was a risky choice. The Kispies could decide she was the enemy just as much as the soldiers. But what fun if she evaded their notice and they tormented Ruprecht's men with their tiny, sharp weapons. If they didn't drive the intruders through the portal, then perhaps they would send them over the falls. Ash faltered for two steps at the thought of killing anyone, even if from several steps back. She shook her head. Think about the moral conundrums later. What mattered now was staying ahead of these men, staying in their sight, keeping them chasing her, and most important of all, finding the portal. Timing wouldn't be worth anything if she couldn't find it at the proper moment to lead the soldiers through it. Fang had reported that this current portal opening led out onto another riverbank. They wouldn't realize the change from enchanted forest to outside world until it was too late. If she worked this right. This first attempt had to succeed. She couldn't keep running all day. There were limits even to the wolf's strength and endurance and fleetness, and she didn't want to discover what it was at the most inconvenient time. She led her pursuers down a shallow slope into a narrow valley that ran between two hills that eventually grew into cliffs, then spilled out onto the plain beside the Snarl River. They had finally given up shouting after her, ordering her to stop, taunting her with punishment, and even mocking each other for their hopes of capturing her. Ahead was the river. On the other side, among those scraggly pines, lay the portal. Were Ruprecht's soldiers alert enough to look ahead and notice the difference in landscape on the other side of the trees? More important, would she find it in time to avoid racing up and down the bank, searching? Ash studied the riverbank as she ran, and nearly stepped into a rabbit hole. She snarled at her obliviousness and leaped forward faster. Get to the riverbank, cross it, then look around. She didn't need to fall, maybe break a bone and be captured. Ash didn't want to find out that she was already so much the lady of the castle. Yes, one of these bully brutes would win it from her, simply because she said so. And hadn't Cecil and Friar Ipswich both told her that gambling and games of chance were fools' toys and traps? Athiosius, please, just please, Ash gasped out and picked up the pace, stretching her legs out even farther as she approached the riverbank. She leaped, gathering her legs under herself, reaching forward with her arms, willing herself to fly. She hit the riverbank with her hands and somersaulted, twice, going crooked and spinning around, but somehow managing to land on her feet. She staggered back, gasping, laughing, and turned to look for the soldiers. Two leaped the bank. The horse's hind feet landed in the river. Three more leaped, stumbling but landing on solid ground. Another horse misstepped and went down into the water halfway across. Ash backed away, keeping her gaze on the men as they regathered. From the way they looked around, they had lost her among the pines. She wouldn't gamble on how much time she had. A glimmer of pale blue light caught her attention. Her fingertips tingled at the roots of her claws. She felt that tingle when she handled books that were exceptionally heavy with magic. The portal was near. Ash stretched out her hand, letting the tingle guide her. The glimmer of blue light deepened, and through two tall pines, where their branches intersected, she saw deepening shadows. On the riverbank behind her, the coming of night painted the sky orange and crimson and gold and purple. There was no sun to set. Through those trees, she saw a crescent of sun just above the horizon. "Got you!" a man shouted, lunging off his horse. His hand snagged on the shoulder of her sleeveless leather shirt. Ash snarled and turned her head to bite. He shrieked and she leaped away, heart racing too hard to let her laugh. More footsteps and shouts. She ran out into the brighter daylight, ready to dodge and duck. Hooves nearly raced up her back. She rolled under the legs of the horse and pulled herself up on its stirrup. The rider shouted and swung a sword at her. Ash caught at his wrist and swung herself up into the saddle behind him. He shrieked agony as she twisted his arm behind his back. His hand spasmed, releasing the sword. She snagged it before it fell and clubbed him across the back of the head with the hilt. Clutching him, she grabbed the reins and dug her heels into the horse's side and turned it to the portal. Men shouted. Hoofbeats pounded. Ash held her breath as the horse leaped through the portal. She kept it running, counting 20 steps before she leaped off, kicking hard at the man so he fell, unconscious, from the saddle. On this side of the portal, everything was twilight. She melted into the shadows. A second horse came through. A third, a fourth. Then a long pause when no more came in. Crouching low, she crept back to the portal and stepped through. She gasped, trying to muffle the sound. The effort to get back through startled her. So, the theory of tides in the portals was true. Traveling one direction was easy, like breathing. But try to cross back through too soon and she could drown. Would that resistance be enough to stop the men once they were all through? How much time until the portal closed altogether? The other men were busy getting their fellows out of the water where their horses hadn't been able to make the leap. All of them were on this side of the river. Now, to get their attention and get them all to go through, Ash stepped out into the full daylight and crouched, making herself as small as possible, waiting, watching. How to make them think she was trying to hide from them, so they wouldn't realize she led them through the portal until it was too late. The wolf wanted to race out and leap on them, take the men down, off their horses' backs, one by one. A new throbbing crept into her awareness, tingling magic. She turned her head, just enough to see the slight pulse in the blue magic edging the portal, brighter, then dimmer, slow, but enough to catch the change. Time was running out. "Fun! Fun! Fun!" Fang hopped down next to her, nearly startling a yelp out of her. He crouched low, ears twitching with excitement, eyes bright. "My turn now?" "Doing what?" she asked. "We're running out of time. The portal is going to close. I don't know how soon." "Chase!" He leaped up, bouncing high enough he nearly hit several branches of the trees around them. Shrieking, he bounced out to meet the mounted men, bounced past them, got behind them, leaped at them, bouncing off their backs and their horses' rumps, made the horses shriek and bolt. Fang wasn't getting them to chase him. He was chasing them. Straight toward Ash, she held still, waiting, as time seemed to slow. The front horse was maybe 10 galloping steps away from her. She leaped to her feet as if frightened and raced into the trees. Men shouted. Several horses collided but kept running. Ash ran for the portal. The pulsing was faster, the dimness deeper in the low spots. Resistance slapped her so she faltered, just for a heartbeat, as she flung herself into the portal. She caught her breath. Then she was through, and slammed face first into a horse's flank. Hands scrabbled at her, tangling in her thick curls. Ash snarled and bit and dug her claws into the horse. It reared. The man fell but didn't let go until he had almost pulled her down on top of him. The other horses and men coming through the portal nearly trampled them. Ash rolled and staggered to her feet. A horse careened toward her. She rolled under its belly, out between its legs, and darted aside as another nearly knocked her aside. Men shouted and horses screamed and swords swung. The scent of blood streaked the air. Men cursed and swung at each other, searching for the one who sliced them. Ash scrambled backward, fighting the need to curl up into herself and cover her head and pray none of them saw her. The wolf snarled to flee, but she had to linger, long enough to ensure all the soldiers were through the portal. But how long was too long? The pulsing of magic slowed, the pauses longer. So for a few heartbeats, Ash thought they had stopped altogether, and she was trapped. Fang screamed from the other side. "Come! Come! Come!" Were all the soldiers through? What did it matter if she got trapped here with them? Ash ran. A man shouted. The magic around the portal lit up, so faint she wouldn't have seen it without shadows around it. Ash screamed in her heart for Athiosius and leaped. The air was thick around her, resisting, trying for a moment to push her back out. Then she was through, rolling on the riverbank. Fire slammed into her shoulder and she rolled again, shrieking as the shaft of the arrow snapped, and landing pushed the arrowhead deeper into her flesh. Gasping, fighting not to gag from the shock, Ash pushed herself onto her face. She lay still, afraid to move, knowing she might need to run at any moment. "Hurt!" Fang crooned and nudged her temple with his nose. "Go! Kispy's heard. Lots of blood spilled. They like blood." Holding her breath, fighting not to sob, she levered her good arm under herself and pushed upright, sideways. Odd. She didn't smell blood. Ash braced for that first jolt of pain and reached with her good hand to touch the wound in her shoulder. It was dry. There was a tear in the leather of her shirt. No blood. Her claw snagged on something, an indentation in her skin. She probed a little deeper, waiting for that pain, that gush of blood. Wait. Where was the arrow shaft? She had felt it snap and break off. Ash probed tenderly at the indentation, catching on something hard. She looked around and saw charred bits of stick, a charred portion of fletching. Had the arrow burned? "Fang, what do you see?" She gestured at her shoulder. "Burned. Something in you. Burned. What's on the other side of the portal?" Fang hopped away to look. He came back quickly, nose quivering, eyes bright with pleasure. "Snow!" "We're safe." She relaxed and felt the something in her shoulder catch, but it didn't exactly hurt. Not as if it was a fresh wound. If the arrow had burned, maybe from passing through the portal as it closed, then maybe the arrowhead had burned and sealed the wound before she could bleed? Ash wanted to curl up right there and sleep. Maybe cry a little. When the wolf mask was off, she knew better. The Kispies would come soon, attracted by the blood the soldiers had spilled as they chased her and fought each other over which one would capture the beastly beauty. She got to her feet and walked up the riverbank, away from the trees and the falls, to a place she knew on the map, where a pretty little arched bridge of stones would let her cross without needing to leap or strain or get her feet wet. Walking made her arm hurt, reminding her with every gentle swing that she had an arrowhead, however burned down, in her shoulder. Trying to stop the movement just made it worse. When the enchanted castle appeared in front of her, pushing through the narrow valley and warping it to make room, Ash nearly went to her knees, tears in her eyes. And laughing. Why did anything the castle did still surprise her? Still, this proof that it followed her made her want to laugh and cry. She stepped through the gates, and the armor met her with a tray of salve and bandages, clean clothes, and an enormous bucket of hot water. One picked her up, cradling her like a baby. They carried her up to the mirror room and stood at attention, perhaps like an honor guard, as the seneschal dug the burned arrowhead out of her shoulder and treated her wound. Then Ash took the mask off. She gasped, all the aches in her body shouting loudly enough to bring tears. She was tempted to just go head first into that bucket of hot water. She stood behind a screen painted with a cluster of dragons twining around each other, washed, changed her clothes, and discussed the chase and the hunt with the mirrors. They were proud of her, but scolded her for worrying them. Izalova scolded her for leaving letters to be delivered to her friends if anything happened to her. Ash was too tired to be irritated or to laugh. She ate her dinner and curled up to sleep in a makeshift bed of cushioned benches pushed together. Sometime during the night, the housekeeping breezes brought pillows and blankets and adjusted the bed around her, and she never woke. When she woke, she was still on the bench bed, still in the clothes she had worn to sleep. The castle hadn't interfered. "Now we're learning to get along," she murmured. "All right now, what should we do to make sure something like yesterday never happens again?" The end. We hope you enjoyed today's chapter. For more information on all the books and series featured in this podcast, or to purchase the ebook or audiobook for future reading and listening pleasure, please visit yeolddragonbooks.com. You can also find more information about our books and purchase ebooks on our Patreon page, Ye Old Dragons Library. Please consider supporting the podcast to gain access to free stories or discounts, or a chance to purchase a new book in advance of release. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ye Old Dragons Library.